Why are you physicists bothering about this problem? It can be easily solved. Just make the experiment long enough. Leave the cat there for, say, 2 days after the little event which may occur or not occur at the morning of the first day. You may find the cat either, hopefully, alive, but with all of scratches and droppings and so on, or you may find a dead cat, but also decomposed. So here is a proof that it has not been in a superposition. It has been alive all along and dead all along. And it took me a while to understand the real answer, that when I open the box, I determine not only the state of the cat, but its entire history, backwards. Now, quantum mechanics also have something important to say about time. And it says that what we thought about time, including Einstein, is wrong, and time is a richer concept than what we thought. Nobody, here is the river, and if I throw a rock into the river, I'm going to have waves spreading from the place where the rock hit the water. You will never see anything like waves spreading and then I throw the rock. There is effect, cause and effect, and the cause always comes before the effect. Of course, you will never also see waves converging and ejecting back a rock. This is, again, the second law of thermodynamics. But time has a direction. In quantum mechanics, you can prove that in many cases, when you make a measurement, the measurement has its effect, goes not only forward, but also backwards. We don't have time, so let me only comment on Schrödinger's cat. The cat of Schrödinger, which we know is a paradox in quantum mechanics, but I want to show that it's a paradox about time. So what is the paradox? You place a cat in a sealed box where an event which may occur or may not occur may kill or not kill the cat. So then you open it after a while and you find the cat either dead or alive. But the question is, if quantum mechanics is correct, all the time in which the cat was sealed and nobody looked at it and it did not have any connection with the universe, is it possible that the cat has been superposed, whether both dead and alive, until you opened the box and you made a measurement? And this is still an open problem. There is differing views, whether some people think that it is objectively dead or alive before we looked at it. Others say it can't be, and I'm not going into it. But once a student, clever student, asked me the following question. He said, "Why are you physicists bothering about this problem? It can be easily solved. Just make the experiment long enough. Leave the cat there for, say, 2 days after the little event which may occur or not occur at the morning of the first day. So at the end, you're going to find not only a cat either dead or alive. You may find the cat either, hopefully, alive, but with all of scratches and droppings and so on, because it's hungry and it is lean and it has been hungry for these 2 days. Or you may find a dead cat, but also decomposed. So here is a proof that it has not been in a superposition. It has been alive all along and dead all along. And it took me a while to understand the real answer, that when I open the box, I determine not only the state of the cat, but its entire history, backwards. This is another experiment called Wheeler's delay choice and others. But accept that quantum mechanics tells you that effects can go sometimes even backwards in time. So that tells us something interesting. As beautiful and as correct as relativity theory is, there is something missing in it. Forget now the passage of time. But the fact that effects can go in both directions of time, this is something that relativity does not recognize. And quantum mechanics seems to actually impose on us, which means that we have something to look for. You know, the great Bolshoya Sovetskaya Encyclopedia was the great Soviet encyclopedia at the time of the communist regime. And there is something interesting there. There is an entry about Bering Sea between Alaska and the former Soviet Union. And for some reason, this entry is very long, some dozens of pages. And the question is, why should the great Soviet encyclopedia give such a lengthy treatment of the Bering Sea? You have to look at those pages or go to earlier versions of the Soviet encyclopedia to find the answer. There's been another guy, this gentleman who Lavrenti Beria, who was the head of the KGB. He liked in his spare time to kill people, rape their women. You know, he was the head of the KGB, and he helped Stalin. Then came Khrushchev, and somebody shot this guy, and he was hero of the people. So the great Soviet encyclopedia had a long entry at the letter B on Lavrenti Beria. Now what do you do when the hero of the people is just, you wish he never existed? No problem. People of the Communist Party went to every house in the Soviet Union. Give us back this volume B. We will give it back to you. And then, you know, you had to do something with the missing pages. So the Bering Sea, the entry became larger. I want to argue that there is something unique about quantum mechanics, and that is that it sometimes rewrites history similar to that of the Soviet encyclopedia, not in such a murderous way. This is a paper. This is my advisor, my mentor, Yakir Aharonov. He is now celebrating his 92nd birthday. He is the same age of Penrose, and he is still active. And this is a paper we wrote some years ago together with Lee Smolin and Liao Cohen. And we have shown, and I don't have time to go into this, we call it the quantum liar paradox. And you're all welcome to look in the internet for this. And here we show one case in which there is something very paradoxical about the EPR, and you can understand it only if you accept the possibility that making a measurement affects the particle backwards in time. And now I'm going to present the two-state vector formalism. What was Aharonov's contribution to the understanding of quantum mechanics, which I think is really revolutionary. So this is classical physics. You have determinism and time symmetry. This is quantum mechanics. What does the TSVF, the two-state vector formalism, say? It says something very interesting. The effect of measurement goes on both directions of time, forward and backwards, which means that if you take a particle and you carry two measurements, one in the morning and one in the evening, at noon you have a very interesting situation in which effects coming from both past and future are shaping the particle. It has some gains. You can actually outsmart Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Suppose that you measured two variables which do not commute, one at the evening and one at the morning and one at the evening. Then you can predict and retrodict about what happened at noon, that you know both the position and momentum, the momentum of the particle, although the uncertainty principle forbids this. So you kind of outsmart it. You can explain non-locality just by thinking about time. When you measure one particle in the EPR experiment, the effect goes backwards to the origin of the two particles going to the past and then zigzags to the present, just like in science fiction movies. And here is the most interesting thing. A new physics emerges. And let me explain what I mean by that. So, if I shoot a quantum mechanical cannonball, I don't know where it will end. Suppose it ended in a place which is unlikely, which is improbable. If you select such cases in which the initial conditions and the final conditions are rare, are not very compatible, it turns out that nature is doing similar to what the Soviet encyclopedia did. It recruits some physical variables which are supposed not to exist, like negative mass or negative energy, in order to stitch together the two histories. So, and here I want to show you a very simple example of that. Here I have a particle. This is quantum mechanics, ordinary quantum mechanics. Here I have a particle. Here I have a beam splitter. So suppose this is a photon, particle of light. This is a half-silvered mirror, which means that in half of the cases, the photon is going to end up in this detector, and in half of the cases, it's going to end up in this detector. Nobody knows. This is quantum uncertainty. You never know in which detector it will end. Well, you wait for a while, and then one of them clicks. So you had two futures. One of them became real future. This is real future. This is fake future. This has materialized. This has not. In another time, the other will do. What Aharonov did was something very strange. It is not enough that we have this uncertainty. He said, now compute it backwards. And if you compute it backwards from where it ended, you're going to get a fake past. You're going to get an origin which is not physical. It never went there. So people ask Aharonov, why do you do that? Why do you do this? Quantum mechanics is complex enough without you giving us this fake past. We have fake future, fake present. Why do you need it? How many of you know the Elitzur-Weidman bomb testing experiment? Only one? I'm going home. I'm offended. The Elitzur-Weidman bomb testing experiment is a very nice experiment in which there is an interferometer. A photon goes in one out of two places, and you have a bomb, and the bomb is so sensitive that a single photon can explode it. Now, suppose that I am the owner of, I am a manufacturer of such super sensitive bombs that can be detonated by a single photon, and I make a lot of money because I sell them to all kinds of armies. And one day I come to work, and one of my workers says, "Avshalom, boss, something went wrong, and some of the bombs are not good. They became wet or something like that." I said, "What? No, they are very expensive. Which of them is good and which is not?" He will say, "No problem, give me your torch." "No good, no good." Boom, that one, of course, was good, and so on. I said, "What are you doing? I'm making a fortune of them." He will say, "Look what you wrote in the brochure. These are very delicate bombs that the slightest interaction known to physics can make them explode." So Weidman and myself showed that there is a case in which you can make sure that such a bomb will not explode. If it does not explode, but it could explode, then it gives you a different physical result. And Sir Roger Penrose was so happy that he gave us a lot of publicity in his book. So this is the experiment. There is a Mach-Zehnder interferometer, an array of four mirrors like that in which the photon goes both to the right and to the left and then recombines and gives rise to interference, and you put the bomb in between. Many years passed. Oh, Einstein would say that he thought that they had passed, and my friend Lev Weidman came with a more sophisticated version of this interferometer, half-silhouette mirror, mirrors, and so on. And he said the following: remember the problem of fake future and fake past? Now, from Aharonov's theory, it turns out that if there is a history in which there is fake future and fake past, which are nonsense, but they overlap in some place, then something real will happen. The two minuses will give you a plus. What happens when you mix blue with red? What color do you get? Purple. And this will be a real particle. Here's the experiment. This is a half-silhouette mirror. The photon goes either here or here, with greater probability here. And then if it goes here, this is a solid mirror. Then it goes either here or here. This is again a Mach-Zehnder interferometer in which the photon may go here. You select for the cases. You will discard many, but there will be cases in which this detector does not click. So you are sure that this is fake future, right? The photon never went there. And then this does not click. So this is the only history that you have. This is fake, this is real. Okay? Interesting. Fake future, real future, this is quantum mechanics. Now you run it backwards from the origin. And you get, of course, a fake past. There is also a fake past here. However, there is one place in which the fake future and the fake past overlap. See, red here. Blue here, it never went there, it never came back from there, but together they give rise to a real particle. We were amazed by this possibility. Is it possible that you can show by using Aharonov's method that time goes, that the effect of measurement goes both forward and backwards? Is it possible to show by an experiment that there is really a fleeting particle for brief time existing where it never went and never came back? Let me explain to you why is it so. According to the algebra, we think that no particle went here. Not so. There have been two particles, a particle and a negaparticle. It's not an antiparticle. It's a new entity in physics, a particle with negative mass. So they cancel one another. The nested interferometer by my colleague Weidman managed to separate them for a while. So you see that there is a real particle, but once again it cancels with the other particle. It is somewhat similar to pair creation and annihilation. But in this case, you don't get... You know what pair annihilation is? What do you get when a particle and antiparticle annihilate? No, you get a photon. In this case, you don't get a photon. Okay, so this is something more profound. You have negative mass. So we proposed the experiment, and the experiment was reported. Here are two guys, Ryo Okamoto and Shigeki Takeuchi, Eliyahu Cohen and myself, teamed with them. We got really results. Scientific American came with this proclamation that quantum physics may be even spookier than you think, and we are very excited about that. I sincerely believe that there is a new physics emerging from the two-state vector formalism. What does it say about the passage of time? I don't know. But it tells us that what we thought about time so far through relativity theory, special and general relativity, plus ordinary quantum mechanics, is not the whole story. Probably there is more to it, and therefore the passage of time may turn out to be something real, lying at the base of a new physics. Now what next? You know, there is a beautiful... Have you asked me 10 years ago, is there quantum biology? Can there be quantum effects in the living organism? I would say no. Nowadays, we know that photosynthesis...
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.